everybody, and we're back. This is David Sobel from Radio Entrepreneurs from Wicked Local Marketing, and I am here with Michael Brennan, and we are here with Christo. We are here with Michael Brennan, and his company, his school is Boston, Crystal Ray Boston High School, and we're here to talk about nonprofits and their effect on the community. So tell us a little bit about the school and how it's made up and really its mission statement.
Sure. Crystal Ray Boston is a high school located in Savin Hill, section of Dorchester, where our enrollment is 371 as we sit here today, made up primarily of students who live at or below the poverty level. Just recently did some statistical work, and the median income for a family of four in the city of Boston is $56,000. The median income for a family of four at Cristo Rey Boston High School is $21,000. So our work is to get our students into four-year colleges. And for the last 7 years, 100% of our graduates have been accepted to a four-year college. And our mission is to make sure they graduate in their college persistence over 6 years outpaces the national network and the national numbers. We're part of a network of 32 schools in the country that have a very specific model. And the way we fund ourselves, it's a Catholic private school. We fund ourselves through fundraising, but also just each student has a corporate work study job where he or she works in a major company down in downtown Boston or in the surrounding areas. And instead of getting paid for their work, the companies pay us. So our students literally work for their education. And that is the basis of our financial model. So our success relies upon corporate partners to help our students see life after college and what the work environment can be for them. And it's usually institutions that their families have not been able to access or haven't accessed.
Right.
Which is the unique part of what we do. So our kids go to school 4 days a week. They come in, most of them come in at two grade levels behind in math and English. And we do double English, double math periods, catch them up by the end of freshman year, and then get them on the path to college.
Well, that's amazing.
And 60% of the family speaks Spanish at home. So a lot of the students don't have the support that we may have had in a English-speaking home, in an English-speaking school, where we could get that kind of support.
Right.
So they go to longer school day, longer school year, and they sacrifice quite a bit because one day a week they're working. So if they're on one of our teams, they miss practice. If there's a game, they go to work.
Right.
So they're consciously making sacrifices to be where they are and then have in the back of their mind the goal of, I'm here to go to college.
So when was this founded and who founded it?
In Chicago in the mid-90s, in the south side, I believe, the schools were failing. And the Jesuits went into the neighborhood and said, how do we help? And the neighborhood said, we need schools. And Father Foley, who I believe is at Boston College now, and there's a really neat 60 Minutes piece from 2004, if you ever want to Google that, that tells the story of the original Cristo Rey at Pilsen High School and the notion of how are we going to pay for this school if it can't be tuition-based. Most Catholic private schools have an existing living alumni base and a parent base, and those are the two places you start for capital campaign and funding. When you don't have those, when you don't have families who can pay extra or even meet the tuition, and you're new and don't have a lot of graduates, you've got to be creative. So Father Foley and his folks out there came up with this notion that maybe we could send the kids to work and their paychecks could come to us. And I think the Chicago business community really picked up on it. It's detailed in a book called More Than a Dream, The Cristo Rey Story, which is it's a fascinating read for anybody who's interested.
I've actually heard the title.
In thinking about it. I believe it's written by a Georgetown grad who taught at the first school in the first modeling. And what they found is they could replicate this in other major cities because they had a way to fund the under-resourced students in a college preparatory academic environment. And the demand started to grow. So in 2004, our school was North Cambridge Catholic, located obviously in North Cambridge, but most of the kids were coming from the city of Boston, taking the Red Line out to Cambridge. And it was a tuition-based school serving the same population, so they had all kinds of challenges to pay the bills. And Tom O'Neill, the chair of the board at the time, reached out to the Cristo Rey Network, and North Cambridge Catholic became one of the few conversion schools in the network in 2004. It was the fourth wave. I believe there were three other schools, and then in 04, there were four schools that came on board. And the network has grown to 32 nationally over the 20 years, and the goal is to grow to 40 by the end of the decade. And I think my stats may be off, but it's something like 15,000 kids in the country are educated or in Crystal Ray schools.
Do you have a wait list?
We have our applicant funnel, our inquiry and applicant admissions funnel is healthy. Wait list is kind of a unique term in our because they're unlike other admissions processes at other schools, and I've come from that world where I was an admissions director.
Right.
You're trying to get the client to, essentially the family is the client, you get them to buy the product, they make a deposit, and you put hurdles. It's an interesting business model, right? Schools putting hurdles out in front of people, then charging them on the college level $60,000+ to have the honor to go there. We're very different. We don't have an entrance exam. We don't have a threshold that the students have to meet to be accepted. So the only two factors that would prevent a student from coming to Crystal Ray Boston would be the family makes too much money, because we're specifically targeting those that live in and around the poverty level, or the student in eighth grade is deemed unemployable. Now, by definition, unemployable, the student has had to have had a job and then not done well at the job. So there's not a lot in terms of what would keep somebody out. What we got to do is find the right match, the right family who has the goals in mind that they want their son or daughter to go to college, because there's a grit involved in getting through.
There's a grind. Yeah, the family has to be engaged and engaged in that process. They need to be enrolled in that process.
And they have to be supportive of creating
his new lifestyle or her new lifestyle.
Right, an academic
lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different.
And a lot of these families are first generation. They don't speak English, so they don't know how to access the institutions, but they know they want their son or daughter to access what America has to offer. One of the challenges we have is these kids have a lot of trauma in their lives, and they don't have a linear progression like a lot of us did, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, take a year or two to decide on grad school, then go into our career, and we're off and running. We kind of follow the formula. A lot of these folks, these students, don't have that linear progression, so it's difficult for them to visualize.
They don't know what success looks like. And they've not been trained. They don't have role models. So a lot of that starts to bring some questions into how do you find your audience? I mean, I don't think I've ever run into anything like this.
It's a brilliant model. I mean, it is truly
brilliant. So, which brings me to how do you find your audience? So how does your audience find you?
Very much like they would another Catholic private high school, the names that we would know. You know, I've worked at a few of them. We go to high school fairs. We market ourselves just like a college preparatory school. We're just marketing to a different population.
So how we just talked about how unengaged these folks are generally.
I wouldn't say unengaged. I would say they don't know how to engage in what we've laid out as our world.
They're intimidated by the process.
Sure.
How do you break down? How do you communicate to them? Is it done through the student population at a particular grade level? Is there information sent home? This sounds like a big ground game,
right?
Type grassroots.
Yeah, word of mouth and the personal testimonial is really how schools work. We can do our advertising, but really the suburbs would be the sidelines of a soccer game on a Saturday morning. The mother of the father of a seventh or eighth grader who's looking for a high school would slide up next to the parent of the kid who they know is at the high school they might be interested in, and they have that conversation.
Right.
So we do have some of that in the neighborhoods. The families do talk. We target public school kids who might want something different. We get Catholic school kids. But our process is different because the communication has to be different. Right, I can send you a text. You're probably going to send a text back to me. If I email you, I know you'll. I got an email this morning about where to show up, and you know I read it. I've responded. The communication methods that we have, or that the ingrained society has, don't necessarily exist for these folks. So our application process is much different. We get them to visit, and then when we have them there, we give them a proficiency exam. We have them sit in on classes. we have them do an interview and we have them actually start, we write their application essay on the spot so that we don't have to
chase.
In a lot of ways, even in the best, most well-resourced circumstances, you have to chase families to,
right,
because there's a lot going on and I didn't realize the school didn't send the transcript. Right. And if need be, if we find a kid who we think's a really good fit, we'll go knock on the door.
Yeah,
we'll go to the neighborhood, knock on the door, and say, "Listen, come here with me. We got to talk about this. This is a school you should be at." So it's a lot of grassroots, a lot of grinding, a lot of effort, a lot of getting to know the kids in the applicant pool,
right,
and finding the ones who we think can be successful. But we're going to take a lot of chances on a lot of kids. I like to think of our school as a school of it might be their first chance, their second chance, it might be their last chance, or their only chance. And we can't define that until we have the benefit of hindsight.
Right.
And we can't risk kids' education, so we got to give them the chance. We got to high expectations, high support, lots of love, and hope like hell that they want to buy in and they have a circumstance where they go home and they're supported and there's some time for them to be quiet and do work. I think that's our biggest challenge, is these kids that live in neighborhoods in the city that take the train to school don't have a lot of quiet in their lives.
Mm.
A lot of multifamily homes, a lot of multi-generational homes.
Mm.
So to have a place to go back to every night that's reliable to do homework can be a real challenge. And we try to create as best we can those circumstances.
Interesting. This has been an interesting topic today, and certainly not anything that I've seen or heard about, very non-traditional way of reaching, the folks and people and the poverty at the poverty right. line or below. I'm sure there are students out there or families out there that fit the model perfect, but quote, make too much money.
Right.
What's the cap? You had said 21,000.
What's the
cap?
I mean, there's a formula based on how much you make, how many family members you have, and it's a sliding formula based on everybody's situation. So we have tuition and we figure it out per family, but we don't have an advertised tuition because we don't want it to be a hurdle. And it's important that the families have a tuition because when they go to college, the colleges aren't going to give them everything.
They have to be engaged.
And they have to get in the habit, just like the kids have to get in the habit of doing the schoolwork, we want the families to have the habit of being engaged in the school life, and that means some kind of financial contribution. Now, I don't want to say it's negligible. It's important to our budget. It's a substantial amount of money for the families. But it's not a lot in terms of tuition dollars when we talk about the secondary school market right. in the greater Boston.
So do you do any traditional fundraising?
We do. We have a development office. We, because of who we educate, we are a lot of grants, a lot of foundations will take our applications. And we need to fundraise from a grant perspective over $600,000 a year. So we're writing almost 7 grants a month to
wow.
try to make that goal.
That's pretty aggressive.
It is very aggressive. And then we have events and the
yeah,
like.
Yeah, would you want to point yourself more towards corporations? Or have you found that hurdle to be, we've got them involved with the students and things like that, and that's enough kind of thing?
The most important thing that corporations can do for us is give us the jobs, is put
right.
the kids to work and mentor them. Some of the companies will have foundations that they'll direct us to. A company that just came on board gave us a job, but then also said, hey, we have this new foundation. You should apply for this and ask for this, and we'll try to do our best to shepherd it through. So in a best case scenario, the company has a whole array of things. The way I look at it, there are 5 ways people can donate to the school, can help the school. The traditional, write a check,
right.
help us with a corporate work study job, put us in touch with a foundation that has a similar mission to what we do. Help us with your professional network. Who do you know? Do you know other people who might own companies or work at companies that could give us jobs or be supportive of this? And then there's the volunteering of tutors. We have a library full of adult tutors who come in and help the kids with math and English. We have Ignatian volunteers. We have 7 AmeriCorps volunteers that we put up in a house. So there's lots of different ways, but the corporations, because these kids have to code switch so much, we're a very diverse school in a very segregated manner because nearly every student is a student of color. So we're teaching them, we're giving them the skills to go to college, which is not going to be a primarily college of color.
Right.
And the workplace that they're going to go to after that is not going to be primarily a colored environment. So we have to have the corporations help us show the kids what corporate America is and give them access to the notion that, hey, there's this thing called private equity out there and you can be a part of it. There's the law and this is how you can participate in the law. We have a senior who is working at a law firm working on immigration cases, and he's an immigrant himself. So it's real, very real to me that he will become an immigration lawyer at some point because of this experience. And with the recent elections, he might be even more, you know, the result of the election, he might be more motivated because he may have family members who might be under a little different scrutiny now with the change in, you know, the exchange of power.
Right. Well, great. My name is David Soper. I'm with Wicked Local Marketing here on Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're with Michael Brennan of Cristo Rey Boston High School. And tell people how they can find your school.
We're on 107 Hill Ave in the Seven Hill section of Dorchester. CristoReyBoston.org. Please take a look at it. Love to have you come by and visit the school. It's a neat place full of energy, full of love, and full of aspirations. And we want to help make these kids' aspirations and dreams come true.
Great. Outstanding. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.